1 Corinthians chapter 4. This will be a first in a series of seven messages on the seven mysteries of God that are found in the Bible and that we are supposed to be stewards of. And Dr. Ruckman has an excellent message on the seven mysteries, and I would recommend that you read that booklet or watch that sermon, and you'll get a lot from it, and he'll give you all seven of those in one gulp. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take each Sunday and give you each mystery and a little bit more background and a little bit more depth to it than you can do in just one message. But it's going to take some patience and attention on your part. So as they say, put your thinking caps on, and we're going to be going through some verses of Scripture. Don't let that discourage you. Don't shun away from inviting guests. These things are quite applicable today and important more than ever to be understood and known and kept by Christians. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, begin in verse 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. If Christians would have been faithful to keep these mysteries and to proclaim them and teach them, you wouldn't have all of the depravity and corruption and apostasy that is in the professing body of Christ today. But it's because of a failure of these people to be faithful and stewards as God's stewards to proclaim these things and to teach them that we find not only society but Christianity, professing Christianity in particular, in such a sad state of affairs. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing on the message. Father, I pray that You'd help us, Lord, not only to understand these things doctrinally and the truth of them, Lord, but may they be a real practical help to us in our daily walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that You'll get the glory. Pray that You'll fill me with Your Spirit. We pray, Lord, that all of us, that You'll fill us with Your Holy Spirit, God. And I pray that You'll help me to commit these things to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Lord, help us to see the importance of these things. Lord, they're splashed across the morning newspapers, and it is important that a Bible-believing Christian know what the book has to say about any of these subjects, Lord, lest he be on the wrong side. We thank You for these truths. I pray that You bless it, and may the Lord Jesus Christ receive all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, the word mystery is a New Testament occurrence. It doesn't occur in the Old Testament. The reason it doesn't is because in the Old Testament, they were in their hidden form. And not much use hiding something if you're telling somebody, I'm hiding this. And so you'll find in the Old Testament that what they referred to as dark sayings. In other words, they were something that was said, something that was prophesied, something that was inspired by God, and yet the people still scratched their head and couldn't understand them. Psalm 49, verse 3 and 4 says, my mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. I will incline mine ear to a parable. I will open my dark saying upon the harp. David's prophesying as he plays that harp and he's singing those psalms. And there's prophecy there. But a lot of that is dark sayings until you get to the New Testament. Then it's opened. Then it's revealed. But no Jew in the Old Testament reading Psalm 22 had any inclination that that was the Messiah being crucified. Or that when God said, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, that he would have a literal son that he begot. They just thought it was spiritual. They thought it was a reference to the nation of Israel being God's son. Those things were in hidden form in the Old Testament, the mysteries, if you will, that were kept hidden until the New Testament reveals them. Psalm 78, verse 1 through 8 says, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. Once again, not dark as in evil or bad, but dark as in not clear, not understood. We see through a glass darkly, you know. We see it, but it's a little fuzzy. It's not as clear as it should be. All right, so here, I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of the Lord, but keep his commandments. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. So there in that passage, he says, we're going to tell these things to our children, even though they're dark sayings of old. We don't understand the complete depth of these things. They were mysteries hidden in a hidden form, but yet we're going to keep telling these stories. We're going to keep telling these commandments to our children and our children's children, because there's a generation in the future that will know. There's a generation in the future that it will be revealed to. And so thank God they did that. Amen. And God commanded them to do that. Proverbs 1 verse 5 says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. What does that mean? It means that there are some things in Proverbs that on the surface you can understand very readily. My words are all plain to him that hath understanding, but there's some things underneath the surface that are mystery. No Jew reading the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament realized that there are four main characters in the book of Proverbs. Christ, the wise king. Antichrist, the foolish and wicked man. The church, a wise woman, a virtuous woman. And the false church, the strange woman. No Jew understood that. We understand that because it's been revealed what was in a mystery form. See? And God does that, and he does that so that he gets the glory. Amen. He makes the wisdom of the wise foolishness. Isaiah 29, verse 18 says, in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. So he's talking about the Bible, of course. He says this book. But one day the deaf are going to hear the words of the book. Well, they weren't literally deaf. They're spiritually. They couldn't hear what he was trying to tell them. And he said, the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. Spiritual obscurity. One day those things will be made plain. In the book of Daniel, chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. And in his dream, God gives him a sure enough vision of not only his time, but future kingdoms all the way to the coming of Christ. The second coming of Christ. The millennial kingdom, if you will. And Nebuchadnezzar, you know, when he wakes up, he forgets the dream, but it bothered him so bad that he tells his wise men, I want you to tell me the dream and the interpretation. And they said, well, listen, it doesn't work that way. You tell us a dream, we'll interpret it for you. And he says, no, you bunch of guys, if you really got the power, you can tell me the dream and the interpretation with it. And if not, I'm going to kill you all and make your houses dunghills, which is a real bad threat back then. Amen. Go back and they're stressing out, and the word reaches Daniel, because Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego were considered some of the king's counselors and wise men. And so they said, yeah, Daniel, you guys are in this too. If we don't come up with the answer, our heads are going to roll. And so Daniel goes to the Lord in prayer, and God gives him the answer. He gives him the dream and the interpretation of it. And you know what Daniel tells Nebuchadnezzar? He says about God, he says in Daniel 2:22, he revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. In Daniel chapter 8, Daniel is prophesying about the Antichrist. And he says, in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. You know who that is? That's Satan in the flesh. There's some things that he understands from this book. Now, not all of it, because he doesn't have wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. And in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. What he has is a carnal, earthly wisdom. A fallen wisdom, if you will. Like he promised Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3, ye shall be as gods. Your eyes shall be opened. In other words, no more mystery. And yet, he doesn't have full knowledge. He doesn't understand it all. You know why? Because there's some things that the Lord has kept very close to his vest, if you will, and he doesn't reveal them to anybody. That's why it says that no man knows the day or the hour where Christ is returning, not even the Son, but the Father only. That's not only because in the book of Acts he was given Israel as a nation opportunities to repentance to fulfill his promise to them then if they would have received it, but he knew they wouldn't, but he's covering his tracks. But the truth of the matter is that nobody can know the day or the hour because the Lord is keeping that a secret, a mystery, in darkness so that when he does return, he catches the Antichrist by surprise. Did you know that Jesus Christ said, except those days, the days of the tribulation, should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved? That's a 7-year period. The last 3.5 years, the last 42 months are the great tribulation. He says, except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved. It says that Satan is cast out of heaven, that in the middle of the tribulation, and that he has great wrath, knowing that he has but a short time. Well, anybody who could read a Bible will know that it's 3.5 years, 42 months. You can look at a calendar. What does it mean he knows that he has a short time? Because the days are shortened. They're no longer 24 literal hours, they're shortened. And of course, science and the astrologers are telling us all the time now that time is shrinking. The days are shrinking. And that thing is going to get sped up to a degree where the Lord's going to come, ready or not, here I come, and he's going to catch the Antichrist at unawares. There's a passage in Ezekiel, I believe, where it says there's going to be a dreadful sound in the ears of the oppressor. And he's going to be caught and he's going to be killed. Daniel chapter 8 says he understands dark sentences, but Job 15 verse 20 says, the wicked man, the Antichrist, travaileth with pain all his days, and the number of years is hidden to the oppressor. So he doesn't know. And the Lord's got that thing concealed, and he's going to keep it concealed until he comes back at just the right time. Now, Job 24:1 says, why, seeing times are not hidden from the Almighty, do they that know him not see his days? And the reason is because God doesn't reveal everything to us all at once. He told Peter, I have many things to say unto thee, but thou art not able to bear them now, but thou shalt afterwards. Okay? If he would have told those Jewish disciples that he was going to end the Levitical priesthood, that the temple would become their bodies and not the building, that the Gentiles would be their brethren and fellow heirs according to the gospel, and if he would have told them that he wasn't going to institute his kingdom on earth just then, he was going to set up a church of a spiritual kingdom made up of Jew and Gentile, those guys would have bolted. Because every one of them were looking forward to sitting on thrones with Christ. He told them they would be. But in the book of Acts, the early part of the book of Acts, they said, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Okay, I mean, we didn't see it that you were going to die and be buried and resurrect, and even though you showed us from the scriptures it's there. We never saw it. It was a mystery. Are you now going to restore the kingdom? And he says, it's not for you to know. It's a mystery. So God does that. He does that purposely, and he does that to not only to bless people, but to mess them up as well. The Bible's a dangerous book if you don't believe it and if you don't obey it. Job 28 verse 20 says, whence then cometh wisdom, and where is the place of understanding, seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living and kept close from the fowls of the air. You know, the fowls of the air are unclean spirits, spiritually speaking. Destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. God understandeth the way thereof and knoweth the place thereof. For he looketh to the ends of the earth and seeth under the whole heaven. You know, only God knows his full plan. What we know about it is revealed through Scripture and the Holy Spirit opening our eyes of understanding and giving us revelation upon God's revelation. But all you know about God is what he's willing to reveal. There's some things that he hasn't revealed yet. Now, you're not accountable for those things. You're accountable for the things that he's revealed. Amen? To whom much is given, much shall be required. But the Bible says, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of men the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Amen. Now, the following verse says, God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all the deep things of God, etc. But God hasn't shown you everything. It might be in here, brother, but you don't fully understand it, neither do I. What you do understand, you better be accountable for, you better be obedient to. But God knows some things that nobody else knows, if you can just figure that out. Amen. It seems kind of go without saying it, many, many things. But one day we'll know Him as we're known. But right now, you couldn't handle that knowledge. Just like those Jews wouldn't have been able to handle the knowledge of the New Testament. It's a progressive revelation, and God tells them when they're able to handle it. You do that with your children. There's some things that they can't know right now. And there's some things that they shouldn't know at the age that they're at. Amen? That's the wickedness of this world, trying to push that stuff on them, knowledge on them that they're not able to handle, not able to participate in, that try to put them in that mind frame to corrupt them when they're young. Because it's the information might be right, but the timing is wrong. So God kept these things close, and He kept them in a mystery form in the Old Testament, and some of them are revealed in the New Testament. Not everything, but many, at least seven. And we're going to go through those seven mysteries over the next 7 weeks, Lord willing. Proverbs 2 verse 1 says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." So there's some things in here He says are buried treasure. They're hidden. And if you search for them, you might find some. Amen. You know, if you had a treasure map and it said that you had treasure in your backyard, would you brag to everybody that came to the house, "Look at this, man. It's my treasure map. It says I got buried treasure back there." And they're like, "Well, get a shovel. Let's dig it up." And like, "Man, what are you talking about? I don't like work. That's too manual labor. Some Mexican fella, Manuel labor. I'm not interested. I'm just content to know it's buried back there." Amen. Just happy to know I've got treasure buried in my backyard. That's like a lot of Christians saying, this is the Word of God, and yet they never spend any time in it. Why is it that David said that, Job says, "I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." David says his words are sweeter than honey in the honeycomb, more to be desired than fine gold. Is it just because they didn't have an Xbox One or a computer? Or is it because they spent time in it and found some things that were buried treasure? You want to see a miracle from God today? Don't go to a charismatic church. Don't put your hand on the TV. Get in the Bible. You'll find some things that will blow your mind. Matthew 11, verse 25, "At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes." When the Lord Jesus Christ had His earthly ministry, He spoke very plainly. But when the Pharisees and the rulers of Israel rejected His plain speech, He began speaking to them in parables, so that they seeing might not see. He took something that was meant to uncover the mystery, and they closed their eyes, and so He spoke to them in parables, so that they hearing would not hear, and seeing they would not understand and perceive. You know what the Lord told His disciples? He's, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see." He said, "I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent." God gets a real kick out of making fools out of people who think they're smart and intelligent. And He gets a blessing out of revealing truth to babes that'll just believe what He says. Luke 18, verse 31, "Then He took unto Him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For He shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on. And they shall scourge Him and put Him to death, and the third day He shall rise again." Now, all those things are in the Old Testament. Every one of those things, in detail, in great detail, is prophesied in the Old Testament. But you know what it says? "They understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken." Why? Because it was a mystery. It was right there in front of them. You and I can look at them, and we take it for granted that we can look at these things and say, "Oh yeah, Adam, a great sleep coming upon Adam, and a rib coming out of his side, and Eve, you know, that's Christ in the church." We see those things now that they're revealed, but they didn't see that. These men walked with Jesus Christ for 3.5 years, ate with Him, slept with Him, talked with Him. heard him preach, heard him teach, and they didn't get it at all. And it was right there written. So God is in the business of hiding treasure. And he does things in a mysterious way so that you might dig and search it out and find it. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. It is the honor of kings to search it out. Luke chapter 19, verse 41 and 42, when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6 says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ in this book. Psalm 69, verse 23, let their eyes be darkened, that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake. That's Psalm 69. You know what's in that context? The crucifixion. And it says their eyes are darkened. They didn't see it. Colossians 2, verse 2, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Proverbs 25, 2, I just quoted it, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. God is the greatest author in history, amen, and he has put together a great history book, and in this history book there is prophecy of future details that are right under your nose that are kept hidden and mysteries. I believe the date of the coming of Christ for the church, I believe it's in there. Sure. And I believe when the Lord comes, we'll go, oh, man, there it was. There's a lot of things in that book that you don't think are in there that are in there. Romans 16, verse 25, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2, Paul says, And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. So hopefully this series of messages isn't just going to produce a bunch of swollen heads, because God's much more interested in your heart than he is your head. You give God your heart, he'll take care of the problems in your head. Amen. He says, if you don't have charity, even if you did understand all the mysteries, it wouldn't profit you anything. It was nothing. You're nothing. Ephesians 1, verse 3 through 14, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Colossians 4:3, with all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. He's talking about the gospel. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 9 says, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Now, if you've got a pen, you might want to write these down or get the recording afterwards. There's seven mysteries which stewards of Christ are supposed to be faithful in. The first is blindness in part to the nation of Israel. Romans chapter 11. We won't go there. I'm just giving you the reference. Blindness in part to the nation of Israel. Romans 11. The second is God manifest in the flesh. 1 Timothy 1:6. The third is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. The fourth is the body of Christ. Ephesians 5:32. The fifth is the mystery of iniquity, the Antichrist, 2 Thessalonians 2. The sixth is the mystery of Babylon the Great, Revelation 17, 1 through 5. And the seventh is the rapture of the church, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 49 through 53. Those are seven mysteries given in the New Testament that we are supposed to be faithful stewards of. This morning I'm going to bring you a lesson on the blindness in part to Israel. This is concerning Israel as a nation. All right, blindness in part to Israel. Gentiles have always been blind. God didn't have to blind us. We were already blind. Our forefathers were blind. Ephesians 4:17 through 19 says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. That's you and I's heritage as Gentiles, our forefathers and foremothers, progenitors, if you will, they were blind. The nations that we come from, the nation that we live in, blind. All right? Blindness in part has happened to Israel. So they had to actually see something before they could be blinded in part. The Gentiles have always been blind. Unto Israel were given the oracles of God. And God revealed himself to those people as a nation. Not individually, but as a nation he revealed himself to them. So they have some things that they saw, and then some things they were blinded in. Isaiah 44, verse 10 through 20. Who hath formed a god or a molten and graven image that is profitable for nothing? Behold, all his fellows shall be ashamed, and all the workmen, they are of men. Let them be gathered together, let them stand up. Yet they shall fear, and they shall be ashamed together. The smith with the tongs both worketh in the coals, and fashioneth with the hammers, and worketh it with the strength of his arms. Yea, he is hungry, and his strength faileth. He drinketh no water, and is faint. The carpenter stretcheth out his rule. He marketh it out with a line. He fitteth it with the planes. He marketh it out with a compass, and maketh it after the figure of a man, according to the beauty of a man, that it may remain in the house. He heweth him down cedars, and taketh the cypress and the oak, which he strengtheneth for himself among the trees of the forest. He planteth an ash, and the rain doth nourish it. Then shall it be for a man to burn, for he will take thereof and warm himself. Yea, he kindleth it and baketh bread. Yea, he maketh a god and worshipeth it. He maketh it a graven image and falleth down thereto. He burneth part thereof in the fire. With part thereof he eateth flesh. He roasteth roast and is satisfied. Yea, he warmeth himself and saith, aha, I am warm, I have seen the fire. And the residue thereof he maketh a god, even his graven image. He falleth down unto it, and worshipeth it, and prayeth unto it, and saith, deliver me, for thou art my God. they have not known nor understood, for he hath shut their eyes and that they cannot see, and their hearts that they cannot understand. And none considereth in his heart, neither is there knowledge nor understanding to say, I have burned part of it in the fire, yea, also I have baked bread upon the coals thereof, I have roasted flesh and eaten it, and shall I make the residue thereof an abomination? Shall I fall down to the stock of a tree? He feedeth on ashes, a deceived heart hath turned him aside, that he cannot deliver his soul, nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand? That's the history of the Gentiles. Is there not, they can't say, is there not a lie in my right hand? They don't even have the common sense to realize, I planted this tree, I chopped it down, I used it to warm myself, to cook, to bake bread, to roast meat, and I'm going to use the leftovers of it, the scraps, the residue, and make a god out of it? That's darkness. That's blindness. That's the Gentiles. And if it weren't for the grace of God and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'd still be doing that. You say, not with the progress that mankind has made in communications and transportations, you can chalk all that up to the gospel of Jesus Christ improving the lives of men and women across the world in the last 2,000 years. And you can study church history and find out that whenever the Word of God is kept from the average person, that they are superstitious, ignorant, blind, disease-ridden, and filthy. And when the Word of God is made known, then revival comes along with it. And we've entered into a new Dark Ages, where the Word of God is not believed and not read and not obeyed. But if it weren't for salvation opening your eyes, you would be just as blind, or more so than Israel is right now, because Israel is only partially blind. Right. Psalm 119:18, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. If you get your eyes open, it is because of this book. That's why we sang the hymn, open my eyes that I may see. Amen. Acts 26:18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Israel is partially blinded nationally. The church originally was made up mostly Jews in the early part of the book of Acts. It wasn't until the gospel was given to the Gentiles and then it spread out through the mission trips that Gentiles began to become a major part of the church. Now, it's all part of God's plan. Amen. It's not, the church is not plan B. Read Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3. In Ephesians 5, he says, this is a great mystery. I speak concerning Christ and the church, not Israel and God. Adam and Eve are the plan, and it's a type of Christ in the church. If I was a Jew, in spite of all the great history of the Jews, and in spite of all the blessings and promises to the Jews, I would do the first. I would do everything I could to get in the church. I'd get saved, because in the church is neither Jew nor Gentile. We're the bride, and that's a special place, amen, for all of eternity. But Israel is partially blinded. Look at that, Romans 11. Romans chapter 11. Like I said, you're going to have to pay attention. You're going to have to put on your thinking cap. This is more of a study than it is preaching, but we'll get to preaching in just a moment if you just have ears to hear and have a heart to receive it. Because the things which were written to them are for our admonition. And the things that Israel go through are a type of what the believer goes through in his own personal life. Romans 11, verse 1. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I am also an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life? But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. So there's always going to be some Jews that are saved. They get saved by believing the gospel of Jesus Christ, not by performing Judaism. All right, let's continue. Verse 6. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Parentheses. According to as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. Not hear, and then there's the parenthesis ending, and then he says, unto this day. So, the rest were blinded unto this day. Verse 9, and David saith, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, and that they may not see, and bow down their back alway. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. All right, so Israel nationally is partially blinded during this age. During the last 2,000 years, that's been their condition. We didn't read all the way to 36. Let's continue verse 12. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? So as Gentiles, before Israel rejected their Messiah, the majority of our ancestors were eating each other in jungles. You had the Roman Empire. Yeah, there was some civilization there because of their association and proximity to Israel. But America? South America? Africa? Those places were places of darkness. They were blind for thousands of years. And I'm not talking about partial blindness. I'm talking about complete blindness. All right? Verse 13, for I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? When Israel gets right, the world gets right. When Israel gets right, nature is born again. Christ calls it the regeneration. He's talking about the natural world. It's going to be like the Garden of Eden, peace on earth for 1,000 years. When? When Christ returns and his brethren make up with him. One of the most heart-tugging stories in the Old Testament, one of my favorite stories, is Joseph and his brethren. And that's Christ in Israel, brother. All right, let's keep reading. Verse 16, for if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree were grafted among them. He's talking to Gentile nations, not individuals. He's dealing with nations here. Nations being cut off and nations being grafted in. What did Gentile nations get grafted into? The fatness of the olive tree, the material blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we enjoy that. And that's why we're envious, Gentiles are envious of Jews, is because they can make money. And Gentiles love money. And you know what's going on right now? They're boasting themselves against the natural branches. And he's warning here in Romans, you do that, be careful. God will cut you off, Gentile nations. He'll cut you off from what? The fatness of the olive tree. Your market's about to burst and you're going to be experiencing poverty, and they'll get grafted back in and start getting blessed as a nation again. That's what Romans 11 is about. It's not about individuals losing their salvation or being saved. It's about God's treatment of nations in regards to his people. Verse 18, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Graft in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. Nations. All right, verse 23, and they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of an olive tree which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these which be the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come an out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Now some have mistakenly thought that all Israel being saved is that you don't have to witness to Jews. God saves them because they're Jewish and all the Jews will be saved. No, that's not the case. There are Jews in hell. The rich man in Luke 16 was a rich Jew. And he said, Father Abraham. You remember? Father Abraham. He's calling him because he's a Jew. And he's in hell. And Christ said, many are going to come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. So individually, Jews must believe the gospel of Christ or they're lost and they'll go to hell. Even though nationally they're God's people, they're God's chosen people, and the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. I'll bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. Don't ever become anti-Semitic. And I don't care what kind of conspiracy books you read, and a lot of them turn that way, and they say, oh, these Jews in Hollywood, and these Jews in and these Jews here. Listen, you better bless them if you want a blessing. They're God's people. Amen. And the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. You know what the book says? It says they're enemies concerning the gospel, but they're beloved for the Father's sake. So you bless them, you pray for them, you witness to them. But don't ever put your hand against them. You know why? God will take it out on you. And I don't care if you're saved or not. That thing is a covenant that God made with his friend Abraham. All right. Verse 27, for this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in time past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out! For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. You know what you just saw? You saw a great mystery. How God worked that thing out the last 6,000 years. In revealing himself to one nation, Israel, in dealing with those people year in and year out, over hundreds of years, over thousands of years, and then finally comes to them and offers them the kingdom, and they reject it, God knowing they would, so that he could open up the grace of God to you. Amen. Lost Gentiles, blind Gentiles. Well, you better thank God they rejected it. You better thank God. You better not put your hand against them. Listen, Christ is a Jew. I worship a Jew. Amen. All the apostles were Jews. This is a Jewish book. And you better thank God for them. The oracles are given to them. They have the advantage. Physically speaking, I'd rather be a Jew. Spiritually speaking, I'm glad I'm saved. glad I'm saved. Now, what happened to Israel? What happened to them? Why would God allow his chosen people to be blinded? Deuteronomy 27, he puts before them blessing and cursing. And he says, choose blessing, choose life. This is what's going to happen if you obey. This is what's going to happen if you disobey. You know what he said in Deuteronomy 27:18 to the nation of Israel? He said, cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of the way, and all the people shall say, amen. God cares for blind people. He said, you're cursed if you make a blind man to wander out of the way. So it's not God's character to go around haphazardly blinding people. But Deuteronomy 11 verse 7 says, but your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord which he did. God allowed them to see all those things. And in Deuteronomy 29 verse 2 it says, and Moses called unto all Israel and said unto them, ye have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt unto Pharaoh and unto all his servants and unto all his land, the great temptations which thine eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles. Yet the Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear unto this day. Deuteronomy 28:15, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. verse 28 and 29, the Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart, and thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Was it God's will that they become blind? No. They rejected His word, and that was a byproduct. It was a consequence. Blindness in part has happened in the nation of Israel because of the consequences of their rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ and His words. And they're still suffering. That's true. Deuteronomy 28, verse 63, it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught. That's a terrifying verse. God says, have it your way. I'll rejoice to do you good. I'll rejoice to destroy you. He says, and ye shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it, and the Lord shall scatter thee among the people, among all people, from the one end of the earth unto the other, and there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. Among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest, like that dove that was sent out of the ark. But the Lord, I see that's a mystery. But the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart, a failing of eyes, and sorrow of mind, and thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shall have none assurance of thy life. There's a passage in Ezekiel where he says, I'm going to send fishers after you people. And if that's not enough, then I'll send hunters. You know what he did in the book of Acts? He made them fishers of men. He tried to catch them with the gospel. They rejected it. You know what he did for the last 2,000 years after that? He sent hunters. There are people hunting them right now. Like I said, these things are very up to date, amen. There's nothing untimely about it. Isaiah 29:9, stay yourselves and wonder, cry ye out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord hath poured upon you, hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes. Prophets and your rulers, the seers hath he covered, and the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee, and he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee, and he saith, I am not learned. Both the educated and the uneducated use excuses why they can't read and believe this book. And you know what Revelation 5 says? No man was found worthy to open the book and loose the seals thereof, except for one, the lion of the tribe of Judah. He prevailed to open the book. Why? Because he did those things which always pleased the Father. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men, therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Now couple this with what we taught in Sunday school, and you know what we're doing? I'm preaching to you, Christian. This mystery is about blindness in part to Israel. Why did they get blinded in part? Because they didn't obey what God showed them. And if He did it to them and it's a consequence of their sin, be sure your sin will find you out. Amen. I've known people, I've known brethren that were in church for years, grew up in church, reading the Bible, and then they got out. And they got out in the world. And thank God they allowed themselves to got recovered and they got back in church. And they come back to church, you know what? They couldn't even remember the name of the king who had all the babies killed when Jesus was a baby. And that's a guy that's been in church all his life and he couldn't remember the name of that king. You know why? Some of y'all may not remember. I know it's Herod, right? Herod. Okay. Why couldn't that guy remember it? Age? No. Because the Lord said, all right, if that's the way you're going to treat my book, I'll take back my treasure. That's what He did with Israel. That's what He'll do to you if you get away from this book. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. If any man thinketh he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing as he ought to know. See, you can get a lot of facts and figures, you can get a lot of knowledge, you can get a lot of wisdom from the Bible and understanding of it, and if you get away from the Lord, you know what's going to happen? You will lose it. He'll take it from you. And that's a horrible condition to be in. That's why the preaching is warning you. Listen, brother, if God allowed that to happen to His chosen people, the apple of His eye, you don't think He'll let that happen to you? I'm not talking about losing salvation. You know me better than that. But there's a lot that you can lose as a Christian. You know, a lot of you better hang on to, amen, and learn the lesson from somebody else's mistake. I had four older brothers, and they always used to tell me, you and Seth, you know, man, y'all had it made. Pop, he mellowed out by the time you guys came along. He wasn't the same person. You know, he was rough on us. He was easy on y'all. I said, no, I think we were just smarter than you guys. And that's true. As a matter of fact, I could see, you know, I remember when Sean told my dad, I'm not going back to school. And I said, ooh, I don't want that to happen to me. I'm going to stay in school. I remember Pop going to get Sheldon out of jail. And he had a bullet in his rear end that's still there to this day because of a bad drug deal. Yeah, Christian home. A lot of kids are messed up in Christian homes. I remember seeing that stuff. And you know what I did? I said, I don't want to be on his bad side. Amen. I want to stay on his good side. Well, that's the way you ought to look at God. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you had a good dad, you both loved him and feared him.
Right on. Amen.
And God is a God worthy. He's a Father worthy of our love and our fear. Fear will keep you straight. Fear will keep you from crossing lines. Fear keep you in order. Amen. Noah moved with fear to the saving of his household. You know why? God said, it's going to rain, Noah. And Noah said, what's rain? The Bible says in those days there came up a mist from the ground and watered the whole face of the earth. It had never rained before. He had to believe it by faith. And God says, Noah, I'm going to open the windows of heaven and the great deep is going to come down and I'm going to flood everything. Man, beast, it's going to come up to the tops of the mountains and above the tops of the mountains. And Noah said, oh my God, that's horrific. And the Lord says, you don't want to be drowned? Start working. And Noah built a boat. You know why? Because he was scared. Well, the Bible says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He did. But that doesn't mean that God wouldn't drown him if he didn't get to work. Christian, to whom much is given, much shall be required. Just because God has revealed some things to you in the New Testament and God has shown you some treasures in this book doesn't mean that He can't take it away and doesn't mean that He can't blind you to a point where you no longer know and trust this book. I know of a brother right now. He's in Africa. What's he doing in Africa? He's backslidden. This guy and I, well, that's close, man. And I mean, I don't know of another Christian man that I could trust as much as I trusted that guy. I don't know of another Christian man that sacrificed as much as that guy did, that was as faithful as that guy was, that knew as much Bible as that guy knew. And you know what happened? He fell off the deep end somewhere, somehow, down here. And you know what? I look at that and I say, if it can happen to him, it can happen to me. It can happen to you.
Amen.
Don't let it happen to you. It's not worth it, folks. The prodigal son, you know, he got forgiveness, but he had no more inheritance. And 1,000 years is a long time to regret blowing your inheritance. Isaiah 6:10, make the heart of this people fat and make their ears heavy and shut their eyes lest they should lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. It seems rather cruel, but it's not. It's the righteous judgment of a holy God who gives them an opportunity freely, and when he's spurned and rejected, says, okay, this is the fruit of your doings. This isn't God going around blinding people arbitrarily. I'm going to decide who's going to be saved and who's going to be lost. He puts that ball in your hands. If it was in his hands, everybody'd be saved. If it was in his hands, every Christian would be living for him. The Lord says, I'll take it voluntarily or I won't take it at all. Israel's blinded partially. Why? Because when they saw what God had done, he says, when you knew it, you didn't obey. Nicodemus said to Christ, "We know you're a teacher come from God. No man can do these miracles except that thou doest, except God be with him." We know. That's an admission. You know. And if you know, then there ought to be some obedience. Amen. Jeremiah 5:21, "Hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not." Ezekiel 12:2, "Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see and see not. They have ears to hear and hear not, for they are a rebellious house." Matthew 13, verse 10 through 17, "And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them." Consider this, brethren. Do you realize that right now, sitting where you're at, you know more about this Jewish book than the leaders of the nation of Israel have for the last 2,000 years?
Amen.
And who are we? We're just Gentile dogs, saved by the grace of God, sinners that were bound for hell, that Christ in His mercy saved, and gave us the Holy Spirit, and gave us His Word. And you understand, listen, they might be ahead of us in knowing all the ritualistic aspects of their religion, but they're totally blinded as far as the meaning of all of it. Matthew 15:14, "Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." Matthew 23:16-26, "Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, Whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing, but whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar, sweareth by it and by all things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple, sweareth by it and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven, sweareth by the throne of God and by him that sitteth thereon. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and the platter, and the outside, that the outside of them may be clean also." John 9:39-41, Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin, but now ye say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth." John 12, verse 40, "He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue." In Joshua 23:13, he tells them, "Know of a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until ye perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you." That was literal. He said, "They're going to be thorns in your eyes." You know what happens in Judges 17? The book of Judges, the theme of the book of Judges is, there is no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Judges 17, verse 6 says that. Judges 16, verse 21 says, "But the Philistines took him, Samson, and put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house." Judges 16:28, "And Samson called on the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes." Samson's blinded. He's a picture of Israel. Romans 2, verse 19, "And art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light to them which are in darkness." 2 Corinthians 3, verse 12, "Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." 2 Corinthians 3:14, "But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ." If their minds were blinded, who did that? 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." You know what the devil told Eve? He says, "Your eyes shall be opened." Your eyes shall be opened. That's what he tells this generation. Your eyes shall be opened. The hidden wisdom, and they're in darkness. 1 John 2:11, "But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes." You know the condition of the Laodicean church? Revelation 3:17, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." Acts 28:23 through 29, "When they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed, after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people and say, Hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and the ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it." And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. You take Paul, before he was saved, he was Saul, and he made havoc of the church, persecuting the church. And you know what happened when Christ appeared to him? He was blinded. And he had to have Ananias come and lay hands on him, and scales fell from his eyes. You know what that's a picture of? Restoration of Israel. Deuteronomy 21:1 through 9 says, "If one be found slain in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it, lying in the field, and it be not known who hath slain him, then thy elders and thy judges shall come forth, and they shall measure unto the cities which are round about him that is slain. And it shall be that the city which is next unto the slain man, even the elders of that city, shall take an heifer, which hath not been wrought with, and which hath not drawn in the yoke. And the elders of that city shall bring down the heifer unto a rough valley, which is neither eared nor sown, and shall strike off the heifer's neck there in the valley. And the priests, the sons of Levi, shall come near. For them the Lord thy God hath chosen to minister unto him, and to bless them in the name of the Lord. And by their word shall every controversy and every stroke be tried. And all the elders of that city that are next unto the slain man shall wash their hands over the heifer that is beheaded in the valley. And they shall answer and say, Our hands have not shed this blood, neither have our eyes seen it." Neither have our eyes seen it. You know what Israel has to get right with God before they get their vision restored? They have to confess that they're guilty of the blood of Christ. And they're going to do that when they sacrifice this red heifer. Now there's some farmers in Texas that have bred these red heifers and are sent them to Jerusalem. Time is short. It says, neither have our eyes seen it. Be merciful, O Lord, unto thy people Israel, whom thou hast redeemed, and lay not innocent blood upon thy people, unto thy people of Israel's charge. Remember that his blood be upon us and upon our children? That's how they get it fixed. And the blood shall be forgiven them, so shalt thou put away the guilt of innocent blood from among you, when thou shalt do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. The leaders of Jerusalem have to kill that red heifer and confess, God, we found this, there's innocent blood that's been shed and we didn't see it. Psalm 27:13 says a marvelous thing. You know, the world says seeing is believing. You know what Psalm 27:13 says? It says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Psalm 118, verse 21 through 24, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused had become the head of the stone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made, we will rejoice and be glad. Why? Because they got their vision back. Psalm 19:8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. One day Israel is going to get their vision back. Psalm 146, 8, the Lord opens the eyes of the blind, the Lord raiseth them that are bowed down, the Lord loveth the righteous. Isaiah 29:18, and in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see it out of obscurity and out of darkness. Isaiah 35:5, then shall the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Isaiah 33:17, thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. Isaiah 33:20, look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation, a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. No one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed, neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken. He says, your eyes will see it. Zephaniah 3:20, at that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all the people of the earth when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. John 9:14, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Sabbath day, millennium. That's when Israel gets their sight back. Mark 8, verse 23, and he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. Partial blindness. After that, he put his hands upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. That guy's a type of Israel. He's partially blind. He says, I see men as trees. And then he's restored completely. Okay, Genesis 41:13, Joseph is in prison. His two bunkmates have dreams and he interprets them. One's a butler, the other one's a baker. You know what it says? It came to pass as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored into mine office and him he hanged. Guess what happens in the millennium? Israel's restored. Haman, the Antichrist, is hanged. You said the Antichrist doesn't get hanged at the second advent. Oh, that's right. Judas hung himself after the crucifixion. Acts 1:6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? In John 9, Jesus gives a blind man sight. And it talks about his eyes being opened. And the word opened is mentioned, guess how many times? 7. John 9, verse 10 through 32. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received sight. Then say they unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that was aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. Then say they unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? He said he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they had called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, Is this your son who you say was born blind? But how then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind, but by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, He is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, it was not heard that any man opened the eyes of the blind, of one that was born blind. Blindness in part in the seventh year, in the 7,000th year, their eyes get back open. They get their vision back. Folks, there's more to that book than meets the eye. And don't ever think that you've welled the bottom, the depths of the Word of God. There's plenty there you haven't seen and discovered yet. Amen? So in a way, we are partially not blind, but we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your words. Thank you for the patience of these people, Lord. I know that is long and it was difficult. Much study is a weariness to the flesh. And although they may know these things, they certainly would not do wrong to search the Scriptures and see what the Scriptures had to say about it. And we've tried to do that this morning. Lord, help us to prepare ourselves and have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace to speak not only to Gentiles, but to Jews, because they need to hear the gospel, and without it, they'll be lost. Nationally, you've promised to revive them, but there's no promise for an individual Jew that if he dies without Christ, he'll be saved. They're lost, just like the Jew in Luke 16, just like the Pharisees. So help us, Lord, to be burdened and to return the favor, because if it weren't for those people, we wouldn't be saved. And so, Lord, help us to be prepared to give them the gospel if given the opportunity. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, knowing that the only peace they'll ever have is when the Prince of Peace returns. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen.